So last week we talked about adventure. This week is kind of weird because when I spoke originally on our mission statement, which is what? What? Our mission statement at Whitewater Christian Church is we are a community that is persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we exist to do. And what's interesting is when I taught that teaching is I even told myself right before I came on stage, I said, Adam, focus on that. Focus on the two steps closer. And what I found myself doing is going right back to community. And so I feel like I've covered somewhat of community, but I haven't. So we got to talk about community this week, again. And I'll probably just talk about two steps closer. So maybe that's how that'll work. Maybe we'll flip-flop it. So community, on our website, on your bulletins, it says community. This is exactly what it is on our website, and this is what I'm teaching you through, all right? Whitewater here, community looks like this. It looks like accepting people for who they are, where they are. Sounds easy? You guys are just cool with anybody that walks in the door, no matter where they're at? This is what we're working on, all right? This is community. This is what Whitewater has existed to do, and this is what Whitewater continues to exist to do. I have seen many crazies walk through our doors, and you guys are still here today. There is a gentleman with a mustache who will remain nameless, Rich Henderson. Should I give your address and phone number? There are some crazies who come here, and they come from all different walks of life. There are people that come here who do not have any clue who Jesus is, and that's why they're here. There are people that come here who have no idea who Jesus is, and they hang out with us for a little while, and they leave, and their verdict is still out on who Jesus is. There are people that come here who know who Jesus is, and they don't act like it. They must be reading a different Bible than I read, the judgmental version, which is awesome. Ranks right up there with the Message. I'm just kidding. Not even the same thing. We'll edit that out in post. There are people that come here that know who Jesus is or claim they know who Jesus is, and they act like they don't, and they don't get it. They don't understand it. There are people here that do know who Jesus is, and they do. They do understand it. They love with mercy and grace. But this is the beauty of any kind of community that you go to, you're not going to find yourself. So if you came here looking for you, stop. If you came here looking for safety in numbers, stop. I think it's kind of like going into a hall of mirrors and there's just multiple yous and you just sit down because you finally found home. You finally found people that will agree with you. It's kind of cool, right? It's kind of cool. No. So we're not a hall of mirrors here. We are not a representation of one another. We don't even reflect one another half the time when it comes to our views and opinions on anything. And so that is, what am I going to say? Okay, right? What did we just get done reading here? Accepting people for who they are, where they are. So where are you? Doesn't matter. You're here, and we're going to love you. Amen? Okay? So the next one is dealing with others. Doing life with others. That's a lot different, isn't it? Doing life with others to spur spiritual growth. Sounds pretty cool, right? And the next one is working together to impact our community and world. So these are the things that we see play out here at Whitewater. These are the ideals that we have given on how we think it should play out here at Whitewater. And I say ideals is because that doesn't happen a lot. Because we're pretty cool as people, right? Any introverts in the room? How easy is community for you? It's work. So you leave your jobs, that's work. And then you come to a place where you're expected to get in community with one another. You're expected to rub shoulders with one another, not rub each other's shoulders, rub shoulders with one another. I suppose single ladies, single men, whatever you want to do, whatever. Above the waist, please. Actually, above the shoulders, actually. Let's keep it there. There's some dangerous playground there, too. But we expect introverts to do this thing called community, and us extroverts have an issue when it doesn't happen. And I am an extroverted person. My wife, absolutely not an extroverted person. She can fool you sometimes, but she doesn't even like to go that length. She's very much an introvert. And so for me to do this community thing with my wife, to do this church thing with my wife, to be able to be on the same page with her and to be on the same page with the church's visions and the church's views on what community is, it's not easy, right? That's real world stuff. You know, I'm tired of people. I need a break. We need to go buy a horse and live in the mountains somewhere where we don't see anyone. Some of you are saying, yes, I do. Yes, that sounds great. But it's not easy. It's not this easy play out thing that happens, because there are different personalities and we all come to the table in a different place and we all come to the table with being different and we have to accept one another for who they are, where they are. And so this thing that the leadership here feels is such an important thing doesn't play out as easy as we hope. And so what does community look like? First off, what is even community? Is community coming to church on Sundays and leaving and then just coming to church next Sunday? Absolutely not. I'm talking about the true definition of what community is. That helps. That's a part of community. This corporate worship gathering, this what we used to call and I still call reunions. That's what we do. We reunite on a Sunday morning. But if this is it, that's a real sad kind of community for anybody. And I'm sorry, because that it's going to fail you miserably. I thought you were getting up to leave, and I was going to chastise you. But you're sitting back down, so good. Good, good. But I accept you where you are. Sorry. Where was I? Community. Yeah, oh, thank you. Thank you. So this thing called community is far beyond what we do here. This thing called community is far beyond even the small groups. Women, I would suggest you go to the Chase Bible study, because it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life on multiple levels, because there is more people than just you there. It's going to change your life when you hear other women's stories that may sound similar to yours, or may sound a lot worse than yours. It's going to change your life when you hear the joys and the heartaches and the pain and the trial and the success and the overcoming of obstacles as you're together with one another. So that's a form of community, but if that's the only form of community you have, it's worthless. It's good, but it's not going to get you that far. So what is community? What community is just this word, this buzzword that I think these churches use now. I mean, that's a big thing in church planning. You read any church planning book and it's talking about community. It's talking about gathering with one another. In Alan Hirsch's book, I read some quotes from him last week. He's got a book called The Forgotten Ways, just right here. He goes further than just community. Alan Hirsch defines community as this word called communitas. And where that starts, in order to achieve communitas, you have a people, us, a people that rally around a mission. What's our mission here? To persistently move the world two steps closer to who Jesus is, to Jesus. Yeah. So it starts with a people that are actually behind a mission. But even backing up further than that, to get behind a mission, especially this God-given mission, as Jesus ascended, churchy word. I don't know. Is there another word for that? He flew. He floated. He went up. Now you're talking my language. As Jesus went up, he leaves this command, and it's to go out through all the world and make disciples, teaching who he was, what he taught, who God is, what he taught, teaching truth to these people so that they might have the same opportunity that the people who have already heard would have, and that they would be saved. And so the mission at Whitewater is that mission, that two steps closer. I used to think it was one of the weakest mission statements you've heard me say that we could have ever come up with. I'm like, two steps closer, how easy is that? And then I tried to take a step. And so this mission statement is a very powerful thing, and we do have people that come from all walks of life. We do have people that come from all areas. And it starts with rallying behind a mission, but so many times I think the church reverses it, and we say, well, it starts with community. You need to know us. You need to just hang out with us. It's good. And that's good stuff. But it starts with really buying into the mission. And so if you are a person who knows who Jesus is this morning, and I don't care if you're reading the judgmental version or not, if you know who Jesus is and you can agree and say amen to his saving grace, instantly you have bought into the mission. Now, we talked about pedaling on a stationary bike, and I was able to pedal for many, many years in the same position, not really growing, not really getting in community with people, not really digging in and understanding the mission of the church was to go and seek the lost and tell them the good news about what Jesus did and what who God is and how he is loving and full of grace and full of mercy and how he wants to have relationship with his creation. I didn't know what that was. All I knew was, hey, I'm saved. I'm good to go. I wasn't rallying around anything except for I played music on the praise team. That's what we called it there. Here we call it a band. He went up. We reclassify everything. But I didn't understand what the mission was, and so here I am just sitting dormant. And I didn't know what the mission was, not because leadership did a poor job of explaining what the mission was. Not because leadership didn't push me to do better. It was because I just wanted to stay where I was at, pedaling away. And so Whitewater, I think, has that somewhat similar story. Some of us have been with each other since the high school days. Some of us have known each other for a long time. And we can say, well, two steps closer. But what does that mean? Who's moving two steps closer? We're a community moving two steps, moving the what? World two steps closer to who Jesus is. And so we somehow, like I, miss the mission. And so we're not rallying around that. We're rallying around personal preference. We're rallying around what's safe for me. We're rallying around I would rather not. We're rallying around our own mission politically, our own mission spiritually, instead of the mission that Christ gave us, which is to what? To go and teach and share the good news of who Jesus was and that he is the only way in this life. And that he is the only way into this life to come. And that we have an active part in it here and now for those of us who have said yes and understand grace and saving grace and mercy. So what you signed up for, and for those of you who don't know Jesus at this point, and he's just a fictional story to you at this point, that's okay. All right? You're here. I'm excited that you're here. But for those of us that know who Jesus is, you must rally around the mission. For those of us who know who Jesus is, you signed up to rally around the mission. For those of us that know who Jesus is, you need to rally around the mission. And as you're probably processing in your mind right now, am I doing that? Am I rallying around this mission that will bring about communitas? And communitas is forged when a people rally around a mission and God takes them out into completely uncharted lands and uncharted waters and drops them there and says, now do what I've asked you to do. Sounds comfortable, right? My uncle Titus, he's probably my son's zero size. he's not a midget. I'm sorry, uncle, if you're listening to this. He's not a midget, but he's just real tiny. He's probably my wife's height, 5 foot nothing. He is one of the most hardcore dudes I've ever met. He will... Rattlesnake country is in Scott's Bluff like crazy. We have tons of rattlesnakes. That guy will go and toy with rattlesnakes as they're trying to go into their den or their burrow, whatever you call it, a nest. I don't know. He will go and grab their tail and pull them out and just kind of play with them. I don't know. I've never seen another dude like this guy other than the weird wild guy that got killed by the shark thing. Good story, Adam. Anyway... What's his name? Steve, the Australian guy? Steve Irwin, thank you. Doggone it. Everybody's just sitting silent watching me flounder. This is going to be fun. Yeah. Thanks, guys. You're a good community, all right? You're a great community. So anyway, he would buy and pay for trips where they would drop him off via a helicopter in the middle of Alaska. In a forest. And they said, we'll be back in 7 to 9 days, depending on weather. And he was just supposed to survive. And that was his idea of like a cruise. Like, he ate this stuff up. He loved this stuff, and he's just a hardcore dude. Where was I going with that story? What's that? Uncle Titus, yeah. That was the worst rabbit trail in the world, guys. Uncharted territory, thank you. He loved that thing. And for most of us, that's not a comfortable place to be, is it? As I told you about my buddy Kevin and I, we had a talk, and he said, how do you operate with this kind of a life situation? And God continues to, since I started this ministry, drop me into those places and say, you don't need to see land. You don't need to see comfort. You don't need to see safety. You need to continue on where you're at. And then you need to invite people there with you. Because this thing that I've called you to, this communitas, this community, is not a safe thing. This mission that I've called you to tell the world about who I am, is not a safe thing. Because you're going to get beat up. You're going to get laughed at. You will live life with people in community for 15 to 20 years, and they will turn their back on you. You will live your life with people for 2 to 3 years and have just incredible, deep relationship, and they will turn and bite you and run away. And then you're left holding the bag of, well, I thought we were doing this thing called community. And he says, yeah, that's right. You were. You are. So this uncharted territory is not a comfortable place to be, but as we grow as a community and we take Christ seriously at his mission of what we are supposed to do in changing the world, he didn't call you to safety, people. And what happens when a group of people rally around a mission and they start facing adversity together like that? They start getting a shared experience. They start getting an experience that shows their true colors or shows their true fear or shows their true strengths and their true who God called them to be. And communitas starts to happen. And that is a beautiful thing. So the whole playing it safe on a Sunday morning is no more. For those of you who know who Jesus is, you cannot do this anymore. For those of you who are looking to find out who Jesus is, know that that's what you're signing up for. Chad Hallback, the lead planner of this church, he wrote an advertisement. Yeah, Joe, you would be proud of me. Yasser, you would be proud of me. He wrote an advertisement. And then he ate a banana. Rabbit trail. He wrote an advertisement when he was looking for a college pastor when this church was still in the hiring. Are these turning on and off on me? You guys are playing too much. He wrote an advertisement, and he was asking for a pastor to come work here at Whitewater, and the very end line was, "The faint at heart need not apply." And I think that's what Scripture should have said when it said, when Jesus is saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, and the faint of heart need not apply." Because he's not calling you to safety. He's not calling you into a safe community. He's calling you into a thing called changing the world. And you, personally, have a very important role to play in that. I, personally, have a very important role to play in that. We, together, living in community, which is birthing communitas as we change the world in some of the most dangerous fashions. And it's not always death in a third world country. It's not always cholera. But make no mistake, it can be. It can kill you. I find that the more I live in community, in communitas with you, I find myself dying constantly. I am a rather prideful man. And I do a good job of hiding it. I am a rather hard-headed man, and the more I live in community, in this dangerous life with you guys of being authentic, that stuff can happen. And I know it's hard to let go because you want to cling to it because that's your safety net. That's your safe place, but God never called us to be safe in this thing called community. We got a video by Alan Hirsch, and he really describes what this communitas thing is all about. And I just, he's a brilliant thinker, way above my level of IQ. But I want him to kind of just describe to you what this communitas is all about.
And then we have communitas, which is the final piece. Communitas is a community formed in the context of an ordeal, a challenge, a task, a mission that requires each player to find each other in a new significant way to get the job done. Friends become comrades, team players. All movements that change the world seem to have a comradeship and a sense of each other's backs that we tend to lack in Western expressions of church. If you aim for ministry, you never get to mission, even if you intend to do it. However, if you aim at mission, you get ministry as well, because ministry is the means by which you do mission. If you organize and rally around the flag of mission, that is what we do outside of the church in Jesus' name, you have to do ministry along the way, because ministry is the means by which you must do mission. In other words, you have to be loving, you have to be serving, you have to do it together in order to actually achieve your mission, because you're not going to achieve it otherwise. So communitas takes place along the way of trying to do something that requires that we learn to love each other in a deep and more profound way as a group of brothers and sisters who rely on each other very deeply and are very disappointed when someone maybe doesn't fulfill their task within a given framework, because we really do need each other to survive. I do think that Christians are very risk-averse, and churches are very, very risk-averse. They are not places that you normally associate with adventure or risk or creativity. Because here's the deal. If you want to be creative, you have to risk failure. If you want to achieve something beyond the status quo, you have to get out of the status quo, which means you're not going to make everyone happy. But the problem is, without that, you never go anywhere. And so you're stuck with the stifling status quo, which I think is what many churches are stuck in, because we've cultivated this kind of safety awareness, this middle-class obsession with safety and security. I'm afraid that that will kill us in the end. You know, a little bit of danger is good for us, a risk. It doesn't always have to be death-defying. Doing a job that pushes us out of our comfort zones is very good for us. I think that in America, we self-identify as largely a middle-class society. And like I said, there's nothing evil about being middle-class, but one of the bad things about middle-class culture is its obsession, safety and security, comfort and convenience, right? There's no question about that. That's the bad side. It's this need to kind of secure the kids, you know. But when that becomes obsessive, it's dangerous to the gospel, because it attenuates the gospel, because the gospel calls that into question. So what we do is we have to resolve the tension, and we usually do it in the name of the family. So the gospel becomes this kind of civil religion that really just affirms my lifestyle. So I think that what a middle-class America, therefore a middle-class church, easily co-opts Christianity to be the civil religion. And it's really the country club atmosphere, no threat. It's just nice, safe, it's just part of my world, it's my religious aspect of my world, but I don't experience adventure or journey or quest over there at all. But real adventure, real journey, real quest, when we're stakeholders in the outcome, where our bodies are on the line, yeah, I don't think so. It doesn't happen very often. It's good for us. If it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you a lot stronger, but it could kill you. Let's acknowledge that. But you don't have to be that far out where you know, it's like a death-defying, but I think you've got to put yourself out a little bit. But the wonderful thing is you'll learn and you'll find Jesus in new ways, and you'll learn to trust God in new ways too. And let's see what God can do through us.
There was so much meat in that 4-minute video. I love how he talks about the church as this, you know, it can be a very status quo thing. And we were never called to be status quo. We were called to be dangerous. And not dangerous in a militant sense, as news often displays us as. Not dangerous as in that way, and starting religious wars by any means. But dangerous in a way that you're not living this complacent Christian life. So are you living status quo right now? Or are you rallying behind the mission that Jesus actually gave us, that Whitewater is adapting and saying, yes, that's the mission and we're behind that? And if you are, how is that playing out with you here in this body, in this community? I spoke a few last week and I touched on a few things that we have to do that help facilitate or are an entry point for community here. We have a firewood ministry. That's blood, sweat, and tears, and money is what it takes to make that happen. Well, probably not so many tears. You guys are tough guys that chop that wood. You guys don't tear up, do you? Good. You guys are all in the room, too, and it's funny that you're not responding. So there's this firewood ministry, and one thing that was brought to my attention this last week was there was this construction ministry that happens as well. It was 2 years ago, maybe? We did a Christmas giving tree, and we ask you guys to be savvy enough with your community and people that you have in your sphere of influence and find out what the real need is there. And we said there was no need too great or too small. We were going to see how God would provide for these things. And so there was a woman who, anytime it snowed or anytime it rained, water came into her home. And And these people, these friends of hers, said, we can change this. And so they wrote down on this card, and we get this thing, and we're reading it, and we're like, we don't know how to combat it. You know, we got to go check out what the damage is. We got to go see what we are able to do and come alongside with. And the only option that would actually fix what was going on with this roof was to the tune of $5,000 plus some for materials. And as a church, a small church that has a budget of awesome, I'll just call it awesome, that has a budget of awesome, we took this on mid-year or at the very end of the year in December and said, we're going to run for this and we're going to do it. And through that, here's what's awesome. We go and assess the damage on this roof one bitter cold morning. There's a group of three of us. And in the process, we end up breaking this woman's sliding glass window to get into her home because it was like slanted, and we thought maybe we could just do a fix that would help her for the time being. We ended up busting the entire pane of glass out of this thing, and we're like, crap, we're committed now. But the issue with that was now we need another $800 to $1,000 for a sliding glass window door. Because we're good. We're good at fixing. We never claimed to be professionals. Well, one of us did, but we don't. We broke it without his consent. So that's what he gets for having volunteers hang out with him. Anyway, so we go, and this happens, and then I'm all of a sudden up on a roof when it's a nice sunny day, and I'm looking down as I'm scraping this roof, and there's probably 15 other people from Whitewater tearing apart a deck and rebuilding this porch area for her. And there's people just ministering to this woman and talking to this woman and being in community with this woman. And we're not sitting there handing her a Bible tract. We're not handing her a free Bible. We're not doing anything but just saying, we are so glad to be here and we are so glad to be this for you. And that was funded through you guys. When we asked them, and we said there's a need, you guys gave and gave so this need could be met. It was funded by becoming professional beggars and going to Home Depot and Cheyenne and saying, hey, this is the issue we have, and we're poor. Can you help us? And they gave us all this material and said, yeah, here's a new sliding glass door. Here's all the wood material that you need to build the porch again with. Here is, what else can we give you? And it was a beautiful thing. But these are some of these avenues that we have to help you rally around the mission of who Jesus is and what he's wanting you to do. He's wanting you to change the world through love and grace and mercy, right? The Bible talks a lot about taking care of orphans and widows and those that don't have, that you need to rally around them and help them. And so we have this kind of stuff happening. We have Bible studies midweek. We have a Bible study starting tomorrow evening just for women. And these are just introductory points, but if that's all you're getting from Whitewater, you're failing yourself. You're failing the community because there's so much more to this communitas. There's so much more to community than just showing up on a Sunday or showing up on a Wednesday and feeling good about yourself. God's calling you out of this status quo. And believe me, guys, I'm able to speak about it because I am that at times. I was that for a long time. So, communitas. Is it a pipe dream? Is it something you're willing to rally around this morning? Is changing the world something you're willing to do? Is moving people towards Jesus something you're willing to do? If the answer is yes, then quit playing status quo. If the answer is yes, then say yes to Jesus, who's been asking you to say yes for all this time. Say yes to Jesus' saving grace and mercy. Say yes to living in right relationship with your Creator. That's what community is. That's what communitas is. That is what we are all trying to get behind, is the mission of moving the world two steps closer. And we're going to be dangerous when we get that, when we understand that, when we live it. So Whitewater, we believe in community. We believe in that process of accepting people for who they are, where they are, doing life with others to spur spiritual growth. And that's not talking about with just you and me. That's talking about with people who don't care about Jesus. That's the people at Walmart. That's the people on the road. That's the people in line at McDonald's. That's the person that screws up your order. That's the businessman that screws you financially. That's the person who you don't want to go see in town. That's the person who doesn't deserve anything from you. Our mission is to move the world two steps closer to Jesus, and that's what you've signed up for. And that's what I hope some of you who haven't signed up for that are willing to accept and take that challenge. That's community here at Whitewater. Will you be a part of it? God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And forgive us, God, for our misconceptions of what you have indeed called us to. God, forgive us when we'd rather play it safe and live as hermits in our own individual worlds and own individual lives and not express what you have done in us and through us to get us to the place that we are at, and not express how we need help to get even further than that. God, forgive us for living status quo. Forgive us for living this tame thing. Forgive us for ever thinking that Christianity was just this tame, playful thing. God, but you instill in us the mission that you sent your Son to die for. God, that he would cover sins for us, that he would cover sins for those that you created so long ago that just don't understand you, that don't understand why you've done what you've done. God, may we stop living out a tame Christianity. May we stop living out a tame community of believers that just come on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night or Thursday night or Monday night, whichever night of the week you want to pick. God, may we stop living that life. God, I hear it voiced sometimes at Whitewater that they don't like this community because it's the freakiest thing they've ever done. It's the scariest thing that they've ever done. And I said, that's the church. That's life in the kingdom. And God, for those people that have made these statements and these people that have held community at arm's length and held Whitewater's mission at arm's length, God, I pray that you do a work with inside their hearts this morning. Call them to the true nature of who you are. Call them to the true nature of what community is and what communitas is. God, may we not be a people that hides in the shadows from one another, but may we gather together through this dangerous mission of moving the world two steps closer to who you are. We love you, and we know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you love us. Amen. Guys, if you guys have any questions about any of this kind of teaching, please come talk to me. Come talk to the leadership, the Lorax that was up here, Rich Henderson. Come talk to him. Come talk to any of our wives, if you can find mine. She's an introvert. Good luck. But if you're searching and you want to know more about who Jesus is, if you don't even know who he is, or you want to know more about him and you're intrigued by this story, then come find us. Okay? Craig Johnson, guy looks like Santa Claus a little bit. Big, great, bushy white beard. Find him. Find Louise, who was playing keys up here. Find Anna, who was singing up here. Find any of us, all right? Enough with the status quo. Let's start living dangerous together. Amen? All right. Grace and peace, guys. Have a good week.